Krishna, and welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There, every Sundays, we hold a special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans. Then we have aarti of their lordships at 12:30, followed by a discourse on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness based on Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And we have Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with Western Feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. Hare Krishna. I'll continue with the Ramayana recital. Last week we heard how Lord Ramchandra had broken the Lord Shiva's dhanus in bow in Janakpur, in Mithila. And when that happened, it was a very happy moment for Janak. His daughter was finally going to be a bride. He had waited so long for this moment. He called out for Sita to appear in the assembly. Sita's friend rushed to her room with exhilarating news. Sita was sitting right there, yet not quiet. She seemed oblivious to the tumultuous events in the courtroom. She lay on her bed in a world of her own, lost in thought. Her mind is still replaying the moment she spotted this handsome boy from her balcony. She was so entranced by thoughts of him that she did not even hear him break the bow. It baffled her friends that she had missed such an earth-shattering sound. Sita's chuckling friends rattled of everything that had occurred in the courtroom. They told her that her groom was a handsome prince named Ram, who was in Mithila, along with his equally charming brother Lakshman and wise teacher Vishwamitra. Sita stood up in amazement, and then doubt crept in. Was Ram the same boy she had seen from her balcony the previous day? None knew the answer. Was it him? Was it not? Would she marry the one she so loved? Was it someone she had never known? She was pacing the room, restless and inquisitive. She had to go and see for herself. Her friends dressed her, up adoring her with the most exquisite jewelry and flowers, and anointing her with the most fragrant of perfumes, and walk her to the courtroom. Sita's veil of modesty was drawn over her head and reached her chin. In her hand was the wedding garland, woven with the best of flowers in the land. She walked up to Ram. She wanted to lift her veil and catch a quick glance of her husband-to-be, but was torn apart by her bashfulness and her curiosity. She checked herself. She needed break no. She could recognize him by his feet too. So she glanced at his feet. Indeed, there were some with the same feet she had noticed from her balcony. Her heart racing at recognizing the same strong feet now standing right in front of her. She lifted the corner of her veil and stole a glance at his handsome face. Everything was moving so fast. The bow was broken. The city was celebrating, and Ram was standing in front of a girl and was about to be married. The magnanimity of the situation suddenly dawned upon him. He had been in turmoil, fighting his own inner battle. He was just as unsure as Sita about his spouse to be. Was Sita the girl he had given his heart to? He knew she was the one the moment she entered the room, but his battle had not ended there. Now a fierce woe weighs in his mind, that of a son versus a lover. A lover, he was fulfilling his duty by standing there waiting to be garlanded. But his son, had he done his duty? He was duty-bound to abide by his father's wishes. So how could he marry without his father's approval? Ram's life was etched by principles. It was meant to set an ideal example for the world to follow. So Ram decided that at this point in time, it was more important to be the ideal son than to be the ideal lover. So he set aside his desires and announced, "My father sent me with Vishwamitra to assist him. I came here to see the bow because my spiritual master instructed me. Marriage was not at all on my agenda. I cannot marry her without my father's approval. It would be a grave insult to his father if he were to marry Sita without his father's permission. He was taught to respect his superiors. It was a prime value, and he could not forego it for anything in this world." Rama's words pricked Janak like thorns, and he fainted in disappointment. This was not what he expected the perfect match for his daughter to be, to say. Oh no! Is that what his daughter deserved after so many years of waiting? The man most qualified to marry his much sought-after daughter was not eager to jump into matrimony. Janak thought, this world was falling apart. He quickly turned to Vishwamitra with hope in his eyes, looking much like the helpless mother of a sick child, imploring a doctor. Vishwamitra was calm and not worried at all. He instructed Janak to immediately dispatch his most trusted and eloquent couriers to Ayodhya with a personal invitation and proposal to Dasarath. He assured Janak that Dasarath would be more than happy to accept this proposal. To Janak, Vishwamitra's words were like soothing balm on a searing wound. Sita was the one person most delighted with Ram's pose. She blushed and smiled to herself, much to the astonishment of her friends. They had feared the worst and assumed she would be heartbroken, but seeing her happy made them wonder if something were terribly wrong with her. But Sita was a very intelligent girl. She understood the deeper nature of humans. Ram's response to the marriage proposal made her realize his true worth. She was now sure that Ram was the most suitable husband. For Sita, a man had to have three very special attributes for a woman to be able to submit her life to him. First, he must be valiant or have the ability to protect. Second, he should be prudent and have the ability and wisdom to say the right things. And thirdly, he must have self-control or the ability to resist temptation and control emotions. She could take Ram on all three qualities. Ram was valiant because he took up a challenge everyone had failed. Besides, how could she ever forget his confidence executing a stately gait that had impressed her so much even as he was walking away from below her balcony? She knew he was prudent and articulate because she heard him speak to her father with respect. He had self-control because he curbed his desire to marry her. Wars had been fought over her beauty, and none of those kings had impressed Sita as much as Ram did. Ram's denial was invaluable to her. It proved to her that Ram was a man of principle, a man who placed principles above desires. Till the wedding, Ram was a student, focused only on studies and self-development. His focus was a state of healthy selflessness. Marrying Sita made him think beyond his own needs. His focus shifted to a state of selflessness. The student life thrives on guided competition, whereas marriage works best with happy cooperation. Records can be broken when students compete, but only hearts are broken when couples compete. To avoid heartbreak, a couple must cooperate with and complement each other. Rama's marriage with Sita exemplifies two essential principles that sustain a marriage: genuine love and effective communication. Ram loved Sita, but that did not destroy his communication with his father. Self-focus can push communication to the back burner and hurt sentiments. As a grafted tree accommodates hundreds of varieties of fruits, a genuine and empathic individual can accommodate different personalities within a family. By reaching out to his family, despite being so in love with Sita, Ram reinforced that marriage is not merely a husband-wife relationship, but the coming together of two families and legacies. Just as the confluence of two rivers is auspicious because it denotes yoga, Sanskrit for connection, the coming together of two families create kalyan, Sanskrit for marriage and auspiciousness. Because a wedding brings two craving hearts together, the principles of marriage is companionship. It aims to end loneliness. Hence, to avoid re-experiencing loneliness, a couple must treat the institution of marriage as a vehicle that must be expertly maneuvered through differences. Disagreements, disappointments, and disturbances, like a good driver behind the wheels, grants a smooth journey. A couple that uses the clutch of empathy, the accelerator of encouragement, and always pulls the brakes of misjudgment successfully steers the union with effective communication to guarantee a happy marriage life. Janak sent his most articulate couriers to appraise Dasarath about the latest developments. Just as a greedy for pleasure mind flits rapidly from one corner to another, the desire to please Janak inspired his couriers to hold their breath and rush from Mithila to Ayodhya at breakneck speed. They inhaled only after reaching King Dasarath's courtroom. Once in the courtroom, the couriers ended Janak's invitation to Dasarath. They took turns to narrate the events and led to the big moment. They described the glorious adventures and achievements of Ram and Lakshman through their voyage with Vishwamitra, how they killed the indestructible Taraka, how they hurled the demons away and saved Vishwamitra's world-saving Yajna, and how Ram redeemed Ahilya in her stony existence. Then they told Dasarath about how Vishwamitra and the boys accidentally walked into their city, Mithila. They then came to the most exciting part of their narration. Dasarath listened with amazement as they described how Ram took Vishwamitra's permission and not only lifted the framed bow of Lord Shiva, but also broke it as simple as an elephant would rip a sugarcane. They could not contain the excitement when narrating how the revelation of the now breaking could be heard across Mithila and the entire world. A beaming Dasarath told the messenger that he too had heard a tumultuous sound and assumed it was lightning striking somewhere. Dasarath's chest swelled up with pride. This was exactly what he had expected from his sons. Now was the time to tell Dasarath the actual purpose of their visit. The king was floating with joy and he could be safely told the real implication of breaking the bow. Lord Ram had won the hand of Sita, the most beautiful and virtuous daughter of Janak. And overjoyed, Dasarath rose from his seat. What did he just hear? A marriage proposal for his beloved Ram? How did his dream come true? He had wanted this a while now. Dasarath turned to his big M for their opinions. One glance at Vasishtha and Vamadeva, and he knew their answer. He had known them for so long that he just needed to see their expressions to understand them. A jubilant Vasishtha rose and declared that this alliance would be most beneficial for Ram and for Ayodhya. Dasarath's ministers unanimously seconded Vasishtha. Celebrations, declared Dasarath. He showered Janak's couriers with valuable jewels. He even donated profusely across his kingdom to share his joy. He invited every citizen to the wedding of Ram with Sita and welcomed them to join him on his voyage to Mithila. Jealous citizens began packing right away. They loved Ram so much that they did not want to miss this big event in their prince's life. Dasarath realized that they had immense love for Ram when he saw almost the entire city of Ayodhya heading towards Mithila. Everyone was very excited and chattered away, but the most enthusiastic of them all was the very old Dasarath. He was so energized by the news that he kept a pace ahead of the entire entrance, almost as if he was growing younger with each step toward Mithila. Equally, if not more, enthusiastic were the three queens. As the entrance walked faster towards Mithila, the jewel palkins of the queens swung vigorously, reflecting the cadence in their hearts. For Bharat and Shatrughan, this was the most joyous moment in years. They would get to see their brothers. They had no idea how they survived without their beloved brothers Ram and Lakshman all this while. Thus, as ministers carried with them limitless riches to share as gifts with King Janak, who was soon to be the kingdom's most important relative. The caskets were filled with gems of every kind, every possible jewel ever seen or imagined was there. Then there were different types of vehicles, palkins, horses, elephants and cows, all of this in mind-boggling quantities. Thus, the procession was so vast that when Dasharatha, the leader of the troop, reached the gates of Mithila city, the last person was yet to start from Ayodhya. The procession seemed like an endless human sea from Ayodhya to Mithila. The elephants seemed like waves, the umbrellas and fans like sea foams. The palkins were like the little boats floating on that sea, and the multi-hued turbans like multicolored fishes. It took the procession 4 days to cover the distance between Ayodhya and Mithila. They were finally rested on the banks of Ganga River. It seemed as if the sea of Ayodhya citizens merged with the river, as opposed to the usual river meeting the seas. Janak's alert soldiers realized that the happy procession at Mithila's borders with the king of Ayodhya, Dasharatha, and his retinue. They ran to inform King Janak about their much-awaited arrival. Janak was ecstatic as he walked from his palace to the banks of the Ganga. He was relieved when he saw Dasharatha, his friend and soon-to-be relative. The friends embraced each other. The embrace seemed to last till eternity. There was so much love and so much respect in that embrace. Janak belonged to the lunar dynasty and Dasharatha to the solar dynasty. And this was truly a celestial event, the sun and the moon embracing each other. Ayodhya citizens entered Mithila to a warm, elaborate welcome. Janak instructed his ministers to take care of every guest as they would have received their own family. He instructed that every guest, irrespective of his or her position and qualification, be cared for and their every need addressed. Janak personally took care of the royal family's needs at Mithila. Janak talked and talked about the feats of Ram and Lakshman and about their incomparable achievements. He was euphoric and felt truly blessed to have Ram as his son-in-law. He could not thank Dasharatha enough for having agreed to this marriage proposal and transforming their long-lasting friendship to an eternal relationship. Janak then asked Dasharatha to share his expectations from this marriage. Because Ram had already fulfilled Janak's conditions, it was now his turn to fulfill Dasharatha's. Janak's humility made Dasharatha misty-eyed. What was Janak talking about? How could he, Dasharatha, have preconditions on the marriage? Instead, he was a receiver who was willing to accept everything his donor gave him. Janak bowed further and embraced Dasharatha, pleased with his humble and kind words. The moment the boys heard of their family's arrival, they rushed to their father and gave him a joyous and warm hug. After so many days of separation, it was as if the sun had met the horizon. The mothers too hugged their long-separated sons with streaming eyes, shedding copious tears of joy and reunion. Everyone was out to witness the greatest event of their time. Janak's court that day seemed to herald an exclusive sight, the confluence of the two most powerful kingdoms, the lunar and the solar dynasty. To get these celebrations rolling, the stage was set for each dynasty so to highlight the achievements of their significant kings. Vasis took on the mantle of eulogizing the solar dynasty and narrated how Ram's extraordinary qualities carried on the tradition of glory founded by the numerous lunaries of his dynasty. If the luminaries were so glorious, could anyone imagine the glory of the sun itself? Lord Ram, the king of all luminaries, Vasishtha touched upon the lives and greatness of some of the great kings in the dynasty, starting with Ikshvaku, empowered ruler of the entire planet Earth and a king very dear to Lord Brahma. Next was the glorious King Prithu, who was a partial manifestation of Lord Vishnu and the most ideal leader the world had ever seen. Then there was King Kokshita, who was so valorous that the demigods sought his help during their fight with demons. In fact, during one such fight, Lord Indra took the form of a bull and carried Kokshita on his shoulders to fight the demons. Then there was the celebrity king, the most virtuous king, Mandata, during whose dynasty there was parity among the strong and the weak. Such was the parity that tigers and deers would fearlessly drink water off the same lake. Vasishtha then talked of King Muchukunda, who too helped the demigods during troubled times. King Shivi offered his own flesh to an eagle to protect a pigeon, both of whom were his needy citizens. He then talked of Sagar and Dilip, who were great kings, and also brought Bhagirathi, who helped bring Ganga, and about Bhagirathi, who helped bring Ganga to earth. No description of the solar dynasty could begin or end without the mention of the charitable and principal King Raghu. And Dasrath was like the effulgent rays of the solar dynasty. Finally, Lord Ram, his son, was the sun itself. It is very interesting that this son, Lord Ram, was not of ordinary birth, but was a fruit of a yajna performed by Dasrath. Vasishtha congratulated King Dasrath and said that it was his good fortune to become connected with this glorious dynasty.
Hari Govinda, Hari
Keshava, Hari
Govinda, Hari Keshava, Hari Govinda,
Hari Keshava, Hari Govinda,
Hari Narayana, Hari Go,
Hari Narayana, Hari Go,
Hari Narayana.
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare.